No meeting, no video.
I'm doing video now. Laura, can you answer that question?
I have it set right now with no video. Do you want to have video? Because we're going to have the slides, slides of the different agenda items up.
Oh, I don't know. Well, let's wait till we get the board members up here and then decide. But I see what you're saying, because the slide presentation will be up there. For us to be in it would be complicated.
Right.
Yeah, Daniel, what do you think?
I had a similar thought to you, Marshall. Was I guess for this first meeting, I thought we could see what the BMC wanted in terms of whether or not to have video.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see if we get a quorum.
This is Charlie. I'm here.
Oh, okay. I didn't see you up here. Did you just sign in as an attendee or as a board member?
No, I think he's actually signed in under Dan's name. Can you please speak again? I can change. You said your name was Charlie?
Yes, this is Charlie. I'll keep talking so you can identify me.
Yeah, I see which one's him, yeah.
Okay. Dan sent me I could try logging in again with the original message that was sent. I logged in with the one sent by Dan.
Not a problem. I was able to rename you.
Yeah, Laura got you. Laura got you up as Charlie now. So we'll just see if we're going to get Bruce, and then we'll go.
Thanks, Laura, for the expert assistance with this.
Oh, I'm glad I'm able to help.
Shoot, I wouldn't have taken a shower and got all dressed up had I known we weren't going to have videos.
Yeah.
Are you on the beach?
No, I'm in my house looking over the bay, though, but that's it.
Okay. Very good.
You can see my virtual background, which I have. It looks like I'm surfing because I have video of waves.
Okay, it looks like Bruce came in as attendee. One moment, I'm going to move him over to the panelist side.
Okay.
Bruce, are you able to speak?
Yeah, sometimes better than others, but yes, I'm here, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, wasn't a question of speaking, it was just a question of whether you were able to be on this thing or not, Bruce.
Yeah, no, I've got it. It takes a little bit of juggling, but it's working okay.
Okay, well. We could just wait for a second here, and then we'll be ready to go, I guess.
I'm going to mute up here, and I'll...
Okay, so I guess we'll call the meeting to order then. Is that good with everybody?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll call the meeting to order. Can we have a roll call, Daniel, please?
Yes, Director Cody?
I'm here.
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Zimmer?
Here.
Chairperson Nohilski?
Present. Okay, so we have the roll call. Do we have any board member comments? You can make a brief comment, provide project status updates, or communicate with director, staff, or public regarding non-agenda items.
No comments from Mark.
Okay, I have none either.
I'm good.
All right.
Good.
Now we'll move on to the consent agenda. Does anybody want to pull an item before we have a discussion here? Okay, so does anybody have any questions on the consent agenda? There's two items, the approval of minutes from January 15, 2020, and the approval warrants, budget update, and invoice register through April 2020.
This is Mark. I just have a comment. the pain in approving of invoices, you know, maybe there might be a more efficient way to go through this process than having to approve them during our meetings. And one of the things that I believe came up at some point were a vendor not getting paid during this round just because we postponed a meeting and substantial time went by before they received their payment or before authorization was given for payment that we're about to prove right now. So one of the things that we may want to consider, and I don't know if we need to bring it back before the board under an agenda item or not, but that we could potentially authorize Dan and maybe another board member to review and sign for expenditures that have already been approved by the board members. And so it would just be a routine payment for services rendered and not necessarily new costs or items, but they would already be vetted and approved through the board. And this would be simply just paying for the service and confirming that the services were committed and completed.
Yeah, I think that's a good comment. And I think that for our next meeting, it's something that we need to have legal counsel look into that, because I think I'm just going off memory. I think there's something in the bylaws that require us to approve them, but that's something that we can have researched and agendized for our next meeting. I think that's what you're saying makes sense. If we've already approved it and it was within the reasonable range of what we approved, then I think that could move forward. But let's task, I'll work with Dan and we'll work with the legal counsel on that to make sure what we can or can't do in that regard.
Okay. And then, you know, we could amend the bylaws and make that exception also. So, yeah. Okay. That sounds great. Thanks.
All right. So do we have public comment? Anybody wants to speak public comment? If you do, please raise your hand. Laura, you're the one in charge of that. So,
Hi, this is Laura Durbin from Los Osos CSD, and I am helping with hosting the meeting. If you would like to make a public comment and you're on your computer, you can raise your hand and we will have you come in. If you are on your phone, you can dial *9. If you dial *9, it'll work as raising your hand and I will unmute you. And if you are on a computer and you do not have a microphone, you can raise your hand and put your public comment into the question and answer panel, and I will read it aloud.
Okay. I don't see anything. Do you, Laura?
No, I don't have any hands raised at this time.
Okay, so we'll bring that item back for further discussion, a motion.
I'll move approval of consent, Spruce.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
S&T can second that.
Okay. It's moved by Supervisor Gibson and seconded by Director Cody that we approve. We don't need a roll call. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
S&T.
I guess maybe we should do roll call just because it's hard to tell.
The government regulation requires a roll call on anything that has a motion.
Okay. All right. So, Daniel, can you take a roll call for us, please? Okay. I'll take a roll call. Board Member Gibson.
Yes.
Board Member Cody.
Yes.
Board Member Zimmer.
Yes.
Myself, yes. Okay, with that then, we'll move on to item number 5, which is the Executive Director's Report. Daniel, I hope you're there.
I am, yes. I was getting fast and loose with my mute button, so okay. I will avoid that. But yeah,
ball's in your court for your report right now.
Great. The Executive Director's Report, item 5 in the agenda packet. Just want to point out that I've modified the executive director's report a little bit from previous versions in an attempt to streamline the review and the delivery of the executive director's report. One of the modifications was to remove some of the overlap with the status of basin plan implementation report. And then the other modification was to look to highlight items in the executive director's report that have changed since the previous BMC meeting. And so any items that have changed substantially in the executive director's report should be underlined in this version. And so that while reviewing, readers can quickly look for modified items and get updated on those items. I've heard input that people like sort of the historic nature of keeping items that haven't changed on the executive director's report, as it provides a quick and reference for getting the latest information on certain initiatives related to the BMC. So I would like, or at least at this point, intending to keep some of the historic items, but then, as I described, highlight any newer or modified items for quick review. So along those lines, I will walk through the executive director's report. I'll probably skip some of the items that haven't changed unless there's a desire for me to run through those from the BMC board and really just focus on the items that have been modified since our last meeting in January.
Okay, go ahead, Daniel.
Hearing no objections. The first item is on page 3, the executive director's report. There's an update on the Program B funding discussions. And the update, as shown in the underlined area, is the BMC staff is continuing to investigate funding frameworks that would provide for equitable implementation of the basin plan. There is a budget item 10 in the proposed calendar year 2020 BMC budget that would provide funding for the BMC to coordinate with consultants to help move this initiative along. The scope for that consultant work could be further refined by the BMC, but could include updating of basin plan cost estimates, reviewing different governance and funding alternatives, and developing recommendations for governance structures and funding mechanisms necessary to implement the basin plan. So we'll cover items in the proposed calendar year 2020 budget later, but that is the latest update relative to Program B implementation. Moving down to page 4, we have an update on the accessory dwelling unit. So on January 28, 2020, the Board of Supervisors considered and adopted a resolution to amend Title 22 and Title 23 for the replacement of the secondary dwelling ordinance with a new ordinance for accessory dwelling units, or ADUs. The final action on amendments to Table O of the Coastal Framework for Planning was originally scheduled to be taken on April 7th, but that has been postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The adopted ordinance would allow ADUs to be established in the community of Los Osos, and it is anticipated that the amendments to Title 23 and Title O of the Coastal Framework for Planning will be going to Coastal Commission for approval later this year. Until such amendments are approved by California Coastal Commission, the county will review ADU applications for consistency with state ADU law, which would allow for the constructions of ADUs in the coastal zone. Moving to the Los Osos Wastewater Project Flow and Connection Update, influent flows for the wastewater plant averaged 0.5 MGD for the month of March and 0.48 million MGD or 1 million gallons per day since January 1st, 2020. recycled water use was 620,000 gallons in January, increased to 1.4 million gallons in February, and then was 1.13 million gallons in March, and that recycled water was delivered and utilized at the Sea Pines Golf Course. The effluent flows are listed below that, with the highest recent effluent flows occurring in March of 45.68, of that going to Broderson, 0.08 going to the Bay Ridge Leach Field. The enforcement item, we received an update on the enforcement of connections to the wastewater reclamation facility. As of April 2nd, the sewer service area has 99.2% of its connections made, with a total of 44 properties not yet connected. Moving to page 5, update on cannabis. The county is processing a development plan to establish a cannabis site. The county is requiring the applicant to offset increased water use for the project, and the current proposal is to retrofit urban reverse osmosis systems to increase their efficiency. The total proposed offset volume is 3.5 acre feet per year. The concept of urban area retrofits to address agricultural area cannabis has not been discussed by the BNC, but staff could bring this issue back if for a more detailed discussion if desired. And that is the executive director's report, or at least the sections of the executive director's report that have been updated or modified since the last BNC meeting.
Okay, does any board member have any questions?
Yes, this is Charlie at S&T, and as an answer to the question, staff can bring this issue back for more detailed discussion if desired. S&T would like to have staff discuss more details about the offset for the hemp agriculture.
Okay, any other comments or questions before we go to public comment?
I have a couple of questions, just and we'll probably talk more about them as we get into the budget and talk about projects. But one of the things on page, on page one, we talk about the water resource funding program, and we also talk about the Prop 1 funding. These are ongoing things that you didn't discuss, but I really wanted to figure out a little bit about the Prop 1 and the funding that goes along with there. We mentioned 8th Street and El Moro. Does that tie into our budget item that we've been talking about, the storm perch water recovery project and feasibility study? Is that, if we receive some grant funding, is that grant funding only going to go to the 8th Street and El Moro project, or will it contribute to the stormwater recovery project? And you may not have the answer to that right now, but it might be worth talking a little bit about that in the future. Because what I see is that the 8th Street and El Moro project is tied to the stormwater resource plan. There's ongoing operation of that area, and just not sure what the Basin Management Committee's role is, and how do we differentiate what is ongoing operation of that site, what is some of the stormwater resource, what's included in the plan there, and then what is our role specific to that project, because we're mentioning it in our ED report here. So I just wanted to highlight and get a little more clarity on that, if not this time, maybe next time. And then the water resource funding, what is the timing for submitting an application for this? And then also we list several projects on page 2 that are tied to this potential funding. And I think that we need to have a discussion on prioritizing these projects. And can, you know, how can this funding be used? Can it be used for any one of these projects? Are we going specifically for the transient groundwater model development? So I think we're going to talk a little bit more about that in our future agenda items. But I just wanted to bring it up because it is mentioned in this portion of the agenda. So I, you know, I think overall a little clarity on those during the ED report would be helpful. And that pretty much concludes my comment.
Okay. Yeah, I think what we're not going to discuss down below or in the future, or pardon me, today, can be agendized for future discussions. But I agree, we need to include some of that information in the ED's report. Do we have any other questions before we go to public comment? Nope. Okay, do we have any public comment? Laura, I'm turning it over to you.
Again, if you would like to make a public comment, please press *9 if you're on your phone. Raise your hand if you are on your computer. And you can also put anything into the question and answer, and I will read your comments out loud. If you put something into the question and answer, please raise your hand so we know to expect it. Okay. There are no hands raised at this time.
Okay, well, we'll move on then. All right, so that's the end of your report. So we'll move on to, and I think, Mark had some good comments that we need to consider for inclusion in the future, but also in the discussions as we move down. And I think a lot of these are going to fall under this first item, which is 6A, the update on the status of the basin plan infrastructure project. So, Dan, we're back to you.
Yeah, before we move on, I guess some clarity around the request. I think that both of the grant opportunities that Mark referenced and the projects associated with them, we will cover in the proposed budget items later in the agenda. I guess, but clarification on the request to have additional information or narrative in the executive director's report, would you like me to provide an oral update on those when I'm providing my executive director's report to the BMC, or just continue to have them in the executive director's report just so I can know how to approach this for the next meeting?
Well, I think from my perspective, it should be in your report, at least a summary of it, because then we have a written record of it. I don't know what you think, Mark.
Yeah, I agree. And then just an oral update on changes and significant events that are taking place, I think is helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. And really, I just brought it up because we kind of skipped over, you know, there wasn't, I'm under the impression there wasn't any changes really to it. So that's why we skipped over it and didn't highlight it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on to 6A, the update on the status of the basin plan infrastructure projects.
Yes. So thank you, Marshall. Item 6A, again, there have been some modifications to the format for the update on the status of the basin infrastructure projects. This was driven driven primarily by some of the discussion and the direction that the BMC provided at the January meeting. There was input provided by the BMC of wanting to be able to better understand funds that were budgeted, funding status, and anticipated future cost. So the status update was input into a table and modified slightly to allow us to input additional funding information into this table to hopefully bring some additional clarity around some of the items and initiatives in the basin plan. Now, we don't have necessarily all the details to fully populate every one of these cells within the updated table, but we will work on that as we move forward through collaboration with the BMC agency staff and as we move forward with basin implementation plan initiatives. Again, there are a number of initiatives on here that haven't changed since the last meeting, and largely have been completed. So I guess my intent is to run through and verbally describe some of the items that have been updated. But if there are any that I miss, please feel free to ask me to cover those as well. Starting with Program A, the upper aquifer well at 8th Street. This project is fully funded. We are currently waiting on grant funding to move forward with the next step of the project. The project was included in an IRWM grant application, and that application was submitted for review and approval, and we are anticipating DWR to approve the IRWM funding for this project sometime in May or June. I did see that other regions did receive their preliminary approval from DWR, but the Central Coast region has not yet received its approval, and I believe that's tied to the order that each region submitted their IRWM applications. And so I don't think it's necessarily a concern about the projects. It's just a timing and who's on the top of the list for review. But we're optimistic that the funding for this project will get approved and that the project can move forward. Moving down to Program B, we don't have significant updates on the Program B projects, other than, the governance and JPA discussions referenced earlier, and the budget item for funding consultant studies to support moving those initiatives forward. For Program C, we have an update on expansion well number 2 in the lower aquifer, and we've included a report in the agenda packet with some detailed information. And actually, we're going to have a presentation from Ron Munns at LOCSB, just a brief update about the current status and results from the expansion well number 2 test well. Program D is currently deferred through adaptive management. This is something that the BMC and BMC staff is reviewing on a periodic basis to determine if it is necessary to reinitiate efforts associated with Program D. Program M, the update, I think this update was provided previously, but back in October 2019, the new lower aquifer monitoring well at Palisades or requested by the sea was completed. And then an update on Program U. I think this references back to some of your comments, Mark. There are several initiatives, including the creek discharge program and specifically the soil aquifer testing and baseline monitoring, as well as the 8th and El Moro Urban Stormwater Recovery Project. These are projects that have been previously approved for funding by the BMC, However, these two projects are currently on hold pending the discussions associated with the calendar year 2020 BMC budget. And specifically, and we'll cover it in more detail, but related to the opportunity to pursue a water recycling funding program grant to help fund initiatives in support of the BMC, primarily the completion of a transient groundwater model. The reason they're on hold is these are projects that, as I mentioned, have been approved for funding, but we have the potential to utilize the use of funds for these projects as match funds for the water recycling funding program. And however, we can only count the costs associated with these projects as match is if the costs are incurred after a preliminary approval of the water recycling funding grant. And so the intent was to hit pause until the BMC made a decision about the grant, so that if we want to utilize these as match funds, we would have that opportunity. So any questions about the update on the status of the Basin Plan infrastructure projects in general? And then we could, if not, we can transition to the presentation on the expansion well number two test well result.
Does anybody have any questions on that part of his report, or pardon me, of this item?
Yeah, Marshall Bruce here, just to help my mind get up to speed here. The matter of using the creek discharge work and the 8th and El Moro project as match funds, how does that work? Just shows that we are, because they're not directly related to the transient model itself, when the transient model would be useful in analyzing, really useful in analyzing them. But I guess I'm just a little curious as to how it all ties together in the eyes of the state board.
Yeah, good question, Director Gibson. Yeah, so the concept is that in applying for the water recycling funding program grant, we would put together a scope of work or a package that would include a number of different items. And those items would include the transient groundwater model. It would include the soil aquifer treatment initiative. It could include the urban stormwater capture component, all as part of a single grant application, and a narrative that describes how all those initiatives tie together. And so the nexus for this funding program is you need to be looking to advance the planning of a recycled water program. And so the nexus in my mind for all these really is the creek discharge program opportunity. And so the transient groundwater model, the soil aquifer treatment, potentially the stormwater, really will all help the community and the BMC determine what is the best opportunity for utilization of water from the Los Suosos water reclamation facility. And so that's the nexus. So while they are sort of individual separate elements, in a sense, if there's enough of a linkage between all three, I think there's a story to be told there, and that they could be eligible for funding under one grant opportunity.
So it tells a story that we're really working on a one water concept, mm-hmm. holistic water recycling, but in the end, that grant program only funds half, right, of what we asked
yeah,
for.
Yeah, that's an important clarification point. Yes, so the grant can provide up to $150,000 in grant funding, but it requires that the agencies put up or show an equivalent match.
Okay, so we're sweetening the deal by showing a program, but and that's, again, a source of confusion in my mind. Actually getting the transient model itself is a $150,000 proposition, as I understood it, But where we mm-hmm. get to applying for, you know, a $300,000 program is by adding these other things into it. Have I got that square?
You're right. You are correct. So yes, okay. the transient model would require, you know, basically all the grant funds, but because the BMC is already committed to paying for these other projects, we can leverage that and show them as grant as match for okay. those grant funds.
Thank you. That makes a lot more sense.
Okay. Anything else before he moves on?
Yeah. Regarding the project and the grant funding. So program U projects in specifically the creek discharge, we have anticipated planning pre-construction at $582,000. Is that an accurate number? And is that's in addition to the feasibility study that Bruce Gibson mentioned $150,000 match, but really the budget that we're going to talk about in our next agenda item is much higher than that. So I run a little bit of confusion on these projects and what we're overall committing to, and how they're laid out in this chart. I think our budgeted amount shows that it's $50,000. And so the anticipated planning, that $582,000 is really just to get us through the feasibility stage that would put us in a better position for some grant funding, or I just don't have a lot of clarity on where we're going with the creek discharge, because I understood what you said about it being the nexus to many of these other projects. But if in order to do the creek discharge, we have to do all of the other projects that we're talking about, that's just a substantial chunk of financial commitment from all of the agencies. And I don't see a clear roadmap for that or a clear understanding. We talk about these projects in increments, but one of the things that we've talked about in our past meetings was having that clear roadmap of where does it, you know, what is our ultimate goal and what is our nexus and what are we committed to? And really, it, you know, it all boils down to the funding, the financial commitment, who are the beneficiaries of this. And ultimately it's the community of Los Osos, but should all of these costs be borne solely on the water purveyors? I don't know that, you know, and I don't have a clear roadmap for that. And so more or less kind of just making a statement right now that we'll probably talk more about it in our next agenda item, but we're tackling these things in pieces, but really they're part of a whole picture, as you mentioned that, you know, so I guess, you know, really what I would be, my comment and what I would be focusing in on is more clarity on what is the expectation of the BMC, you know, what are our goals and what are our expectation, and having some type of a roadmap that clearly outlines what these costs are and what we're going to be faced with in the future from each agency, because these are substantial financial commitments that are going to be requested of each agency moving forward.
Correct. And I your concept of a roadmap, I think, is fitting. So one of the things that I at least personally believe will help with defining that roadmap is the transient groundwater model. And we can talk about that again at a later agenda item. But then we can also talk specifically about the funding commitments that, you know, we would be making as part of the calendar year 2020 BMC budget. You know, just for clarity, it doesn't include the $582,000 next phase of the creek discharge program. I think as I mentioned, the transient model, I think will really could be a tool to really help the BMC identify what are those critical infrastructure projects and develop an implementation plan that lays them out in time so that they can be completed prudently and efficiently and really look to optimize the use of funds from the community towards improving groundwater sustainability. So yeah, without getting further into the specifics until the next agenda item, I think just an additional response is, you know, the BMC had approved moving forward with the match fund items that are being proposed, and so the concept of the grant I think is really just looking to leverage that opportunity before it, you know, potentially goes away. But that is something that's good feedback, Mark, and that I can work on as well as collaboration with the BMC staff members is, you know, helping lay out the roadmap and starting to project potentially, you know, obviously it would be proposed or draft, but, you know, what are the budgets and the costs that could be occurred, you know, more than just one fiscal year in advance, you know, starting to lay out what is that 5-year CIP program look like. And that way we can have a better sense that potential funding commitments that could be coming down the road for implementation of these basin plan projects.
Yeah, thank you, Dan, because I think that would be extremely helpful. And really just another general comment about the BMC role, and we do have a basin management plan in place, and what the concept was that, you know, we identified projects in the plan. We have made significant strides to complete the projects that were identified, and then in addition in the plan there's a monitoring matrix that tells us how we're doing. And so, you know, adding the transient model and some of these other projects came later on, and I see them just, they're growing and expanding. And it's a concern for me, but it should be a concern for all of us. So really, yeah, I'd appreciate working, you know, with the staff and having a clear outline of where we're going in the future, but also, you know, identifying what is our intent of the group. When we started this journey, you know, can we count on all participants to continue their participation in adapting these new projects that we're bringing before us now? So I know we've talked about the projects, but these projects are growing in magnitude, and even our transient model is expanding. I reflect back to our first conversation about the transient model, and there was a number of $60,000 is stuck in my head, and now we're looking at that total budget as a $500,000. And so those kind of things are what seem to be morphing and moving. So if we could have a better picture of where we're going in the future, I would appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. One point of clarification, I think is, yeah, the $582,000 anticipated next step for the creek discharge program is really separate from the transient model. That, you know, the transient model and the $50,000 soil aquifer treatment, that's really the early work to determine whether or not to take those additional steps in pursuing the creek discharge program. You know, the soil aquifer treatment scope will look at, you know, what is the capability of the aquifer to remove total organic carbon, because that's a key parameter for obtaining regulatory approval for a discharge program like that. And then the transient model would provide just additional insight into the benefits that a creek discharge program could provide in terms of what types of water supply benefits would that program allow. That concept has been vetted previously with the existing model, but the transient model would give us a better sense for how a program like that could be implemented over time and what would be those longer term benefits. And both of those sort of the findings from both of those, I think, would then inform the BMC's decision about whether to move forward with the next phase of the creek discharge program and the remainder of the 582,000.
Right. Yeah. And I think, it would be helpful to know that, let's say just hypothetically, we did do the transient model. It confirmed that the creek discharge is the next anticipation going to be that the BMC would fund that 582,000. So those are the kind of things that we keep moving down this trail and having a clear understanding of where are we going to go? Is all this going to be expected to be funded through the BMC and under the purview, or is it a community? That was one of the key components of the Basin Management Committee, is that we would implement a funding strategy that would be spread across the community. And we haven't gone down that path. But we're developing these significant projects, and so identifying that and talking about that, I think, is important.
Yep, I agree. So can we move on now, please?
We can, but these are important topics that we got to talk about, because we're not going to be able to move on unless we fully understand them. So, I just think it's important stuff to bring up.
No, I agree with you. I think that this is items that we have to look at and take into consideration as we move forward, because it's something that's been raised in the past. It's something that we do need to address.
Right. And that's part of why I'm bringing it up now, is because we have talked about it. We haven't addressed it. We need to address. I just don't really see us moving forward without addressing it.
No, I agree.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Dan.
Thank you. Okay, so do we want to take public comment on the overall plan, or we can have Ron give his presentation and then do public comment after that?
I think I just assumed, since it's listed as agendized as item 6A, I just assumed that we complete 6A before we take public comment.
Okay. So, Ron, if you would mind just giving the BMC an overview of the results of the Program C expansion well test.
Yes, thanks, Dan. Good afternoon. Ron Munns from Los Osos Community Services District. Dan asked me to do a quick overview of our Program C well project and our program moving forward. Just real quick, for people that aren't familiar, Program C is trying to move pumping from the west side of the basin to the central part. Golden State Water Company did complete expansion well number one on next to their Los Olivos facility. The CSD has been working since 2018 to locate a expansion well two. To that end, we did a test well over by Los Osos Middle School back in January. The results are in the Cleve Harris report that's in the agenda packet. If you want to move to the next slide, Laura. Basically on page two of the report, it kind of explains what happened. Again, real quick, here are the four sites that we have been considering. Site A is the one by Los Osos Middle School. Site B is on Sage Avenue. Site C is in the Andre Buxton area. And Site D is over by Sunny Oaks. The results, if you want to move to the next slide, please, Laura. If you're a person that is visual, this one is very clear. If you look at the box to the right where it says expected and you see site A in red, you could see we're expecting to go through zone D down to zone E and be able to go down about 300 feet. If you look at the bigger cross section there that says actual, that is what happened. You can see at the bottom of that line going down. We're anticipating going about 300 feet, and we went from the zone D, we hit into about 190 feet, but only 20 feet of productive sand, and zone E was not present. So as you can see, it wasn't quite what we expected. So in essence, that site is now off the table. Moving forward, I've been meeting with Rob Miller, who is the district's engineer, and Spencer Harris from Cleese Harris Geologist. And we are looking at adding a couple of sites to the options and are working on a tech memo to be presented to the district's board of directors at their May meeting with a strategy moving forward. It's fairly obvious there's some challenges with sites B and D, so we've added two additional sites, which we'll be able to cover probably at the next BMC meeting and the direction which our board will adopt hopefully at that meeting as well. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, then let's go to public comment. Laura, I'll hand it back to you.
If you'd like to make a public comment, we ask that you please raise your hand. If you are on your phone, please dial *9.
Seeing none, I guess, Laura, is that correct?
Nope, there's none that's come up.
Okay, well, we'll bring it back to the board then for any additional comments. This isn't an action item, so is there any additional comments before we move on to 6B? Okay, seeing none, Daniel, then we'll move to 6B, which is consideration of additional Basin Management Committee, 2020 budget items.
Yes, and so we've referenced this agenda item previously, and Laura, maybe it'd be helpful if we switch presenters at this point.
You should be able to share your screen now.
Great. Can everybody see my screen? Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, Ned's starting.
How about
to...
now?
Yes.
Okay, so item.
Oh. Going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's. Yep, sorry. Here we go. Item 6B, consideration of additional Basin Management Committee calendar year 2020 budget items. So just a refresh. So at the last BMC meeting, we presented a proposed budget for calendar year 2020. The BMC provided direction to move forward with items 1 through 7 of that budget. And these are the items shown on the screen now. And those items really represent, you know, the core administrative functions for the Basin Management Committee, the administration, the hydrogeology monitoring and annual report preparation, and then other associated expenses.
Dan, I hate to interrupt, but your screen is not displaying.
Correct.
Thank you. All right, let's go with.
Yep, here we are.
How about now?
Yep, now, yes.
Okay. So as I was describing, these were the previously approved items for the calendar year 2020 BMC budget. The additional direction provided at the January BMC meeting was to work with staff and in discussions around the additional proposed items and to bring those items back to the BMC for consideration at the March meeting, which was canceled, and so consequently we brought it back here for the April meeting. And it included in the executive director's recommendation is a recommendation to move forward with the transient model budget alternative. There are several budget alternatives that are proposed in the staff report, or to provide input to staff on the remaining items for potential inclusion in the calendar year 2020 budget. And so in your packet, there is a description of the different budget alternatives that are being presented today for consideration by the Basin Management Committee. And they're really, it's broken down into three different alternatives. We have the baseline budget, which is primarily what was previously approved. We have a budget alternative called the transient model. And then we have a budget alternative called the transient model with our WRFD, Water Recycling Funding Program grant. And at a high level, the differences between those is the transient model budget alternative includes an additional budget item for the development of a transient model to assist the BMC and in evaluating the basin and the current threats of seawater intrusion, the potential implementation of different basin plan implementation projects, also the potential evaluation of nitrate contamination impacts from climate change and or sea level rise. And so it's really an improvement of the groundwater modeling tool that we currently have for the basin that allows us to do more detailed forward-looking analyses to better predict and understand and adapt to potential future changing conditions within the basin. The transient model budget alternative is recommended by the executive director because it would be the most expedited way to develop a transient model to support future basin planning initiatives. And so what I'm showing on my screen here is what the total budget for calendar year 2020 would be if we incorporated the transient model. And then at the bottom here, the associated costs for each of the BMC parties. Now, if there's a concern about the cost of the transient model, and the challenge of funding that within the existing BMC or the BMC budget, an alternative could be to pursue a water recycling funding program grant. And so as described previously, the grant could provide up to $150,000 of external funding that could be utilized to reduce the cost to the community for moving and developing these tool sets. However, as any grant, it has certain conditions. And so there would be a certain amount of match fund, an equivalent amount of match fund that would need to be provided. However, as previously described, the BMC has initiated several projects that I believe would be eligible as match funding. And so they could be leveraged to obtain that grant funding without having to spend an equivalent amount of money. The limitations of the grant-funded budget alternative is that first the grants would need to be applied for, and so there's a process, and the application would probably cost approximately $5,000. Now, the BMC have approved $5,000 for grant funding applications in the already approved BMC 2020 budget items. But then there's a lag, so that the grant application would be submitted. It would need to be reviewed by the funding agency, and then an agreement developed, and then the money could be made available. The other component of that is this grant program only provides the money retroactively. So the BMC parties would need to the funding for the grant and then be reimbursed after completion of the draft report that would be associated with the grant and then with the final report. And so what is shown at the bottom of this screen is the total amount for this budget alternative with at $520,000, then, however, with the $150,000 grant amount, the total cost to the BMC parties would be $370,000. And then in the column and at the bottom of the next column, that those numbers there indicate what those costs would be after reimbursement from the grant. And so that's an overview of the different alternatives. What I'm showing here is a summary table that lays out the costs of the different alternatives, both as a total budgeted amount, then as an individual party amount, and then specifically for the grant opportunity, both broken down with the before the grant reimbursement and then after the grant reimbursement. And so again, the executive director's recommendation would be to pursue a budget alternative that includes the transient model, as it could be a critical tool for helping us understand basin conditions, plan for potential future changing conditions, allow us to optimize the implementation of different basin plan projects, as we discussed earlier. And the most expedited way to achieve that would be through the transient model budget alternative, not pursuing a grant. However, it's well understood that the completion of a transient model is not an inexpensive endeavor. And so as an alternative to reduce costs to the parties, the secondary recommendation would be to pursue a grant to help offset those costs.
Okay, good report. Do we have some questions or comments before we go to public comment?
Yeah, if I could, Marshall. Dan, could you go back to the budget breakout before the table you were looking at? That's not in the staff report that I saw. A couple of quick questions. The budget is under the cost column, and where it says proposed WRFP match funds in the next column over, those numbers are included. For instance, $185,000 cost for the transient model development and scenario analysis. We could claim $15,000 of that as matching funds. Is that the right way to read this?
That is correct. Yeah. So the concept would be to claim $15,000 from the stormwater and perch water recovery project, $45,000 from the soil aquifer treatment project. Potentially $20,000 of in-kind staff support from a technical advisory committee, made up of staff from the BMC party. Okay. But there still would be an...
Go ahead. Well, so the 15, and then you, in that note, you say that that 15,000 is actually money carried over from the previous year's budget, right? And that's what gets the stormwater project into the overall WRFP grant. Is that the right way of thinking of it?
That's correct. Yeah. So likely one of the scenarios that the transient model would be utilized for would be to analyze the potential benefits that the stormwater project could provide, which would then, I think, okay. help inform the BMC okay. and the parties on whether to move forward.
And then on the next page, the next table where you break it out into different alternatives, we talk about doing a transient model on our own, which is the second column at 473. But if we go after the grant, the transient model before reimbursement is higher than that because of the extra cost added in of doing the creek discharge work, right? It's
higher because you have to budget for the costs of the model and the other initiatives. Now right. some of those were previously budgeted, but yes, you're initially the costs are higher, but then you get retroactively reimbursed right. and bring right. the overall costs.
But in the second column, when you say transient model, that's just us doing just the transient model out of our own pockets.
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you. That gets it square.
Okay. Mark?
This is Charlie from S&T. Marshall, is it okay for me to inject a comment here?
Yeah.
Okay. This table, Dan, that you have up on the screen is different than the one you have on page 3 of your report, and that's okay. I think I understand what the differences are, but the baseline column is quite a bit reduced from what you're showing in your report on page 3 and affects my comments slightly, but that aside,
yeah.
Let me just say my comment here is really separate from that, because I think that I checked the arithmetic in your similar table on page 3 of your memo for this item, and everything seems to check out there. And I'm going to have to check. I'll do a screen capture of this and see if I can figure out the arithmetic in this table. But there's an inconvenient situation for S&T, and I assume that this is the same for the other three members of the BMC, is that here we are talking about a relatively large, what represents a relatively large increase in our company's budget for basin management in 2020, in this existing year. And of course, like the other three members of the committee, our company voted to accept we proposed and accepted a budget back in October of 2019 for 2020 already. And we anticipated a little bit of overrun, but this transient model column represents a 38% increase over what we agreed, our board agreed to budget in the year 2020. And I'm going to leave it at that, and it presents some difficulties for us, and I hope the other board members will comment on this also. It would be more comfortable for S&T if this was a discussion about budgeting for 2021. But go ahead, I'll mute myself and let other people comment.
Well, I think that's a valid comment, because it's the same thing that when my board approved it, it was based on that, and then and we're seeing part of the problem with my board and this whole issue is that we're not on a calendar year, we're on a fiscal year, so we have overlaps that are problematic with that 6 months. So But I appreciate your comments, Charlie, and I do share your concerns on parts of it. So Mark or Bruce, do you have any comments before we go to public?
Yeah, thank you, Charlie. That was a well-stated comment, and I support it. And just, you know, each one of our agencies has our own budget time frames and how we establish and commit to budget funding and this annual year to year. I'm assuming that what we commit to in 2020 and 2021, there's going to be a budget that's similar to this one, where there's going to be substantial costs, because all of these projects, this is only including one of several high financial commitment projects that we're talking about. And so that just kind of stems to my previous comment of the roadmap and where are we going and what are we doing? Because, you know, to have this kind of financial commitment born solely on the water purveyors, I don't know if that was the intent of the Basin Management Committee and what we've been talking about in the past. So I think we definitely need to discuss this budget and project scoping further and have some type of either workshop or ranking system or benefit analysis of these types of projects. Some of the previous committed funding was really just seed money to launch this grant funding, and it really wasn't discussed of what the outcome of that would be. Would it be that we would be committing to these substantial projects once that grant funding was available? You know, and that's really what I'm asking for moving forward, is that we have a clear roadmap, and that way the agencies can make the determination and properly prepare for responding to these types of items in our agenda.
Well, a couple of thoughts, if I might. This is Bruce. First of all, if we could go back, well, let's stay right where you are, it would be fine. My feeling is that the transient model is a fundamentally important thing for us to do our job in understanding the water resource in the Los Osos Basin, both for the water purveyors, planning for providing adequate water to their customers, and second, for the county's planning on land use. And the steady state model just is not state of the art. It's not where we should be, and it comes up short of allowing us to analyze different approaches to making sure this basin not only gets in balance, but stays in balance. It's really at the heart of our adaptive management strategies. And so to me, we've got to have the transient model. That's just our technical responsibility to have that quality of work. So secondarily to that is we got to figure out how to pay for it. And you know, it's interesting that this grant program we're talking about has the potential benefit of adding things to it. I guess we should make sure we're not going overboard on that. But I think that we need to carefully strategize how we budget. The third thing is, if I remember from the previous slide, Dan, we have quite a lot of carryover from our previous year's budget. And so the actual new dollars that we're being asked to commit in this calendar year are less, perhaps, than the total amounts there. And then if you could comment on that. And then finally, I mean, this doesn't fall solely on the water purveyors. If you look on the county's line there, there's a substantial commitment from the flood control district to help fund the transient model, because that's the kind of thing we do, is analyze the water situations in different basins. You know, I think it is properly on the list of responsibilities of the water purveyors to actually implement the solutions, because in the end, it's the ratepayers that are going to be responsible for those costs, and it's also the ratepayers that take the benefit from that. You know, and I'm sensitive to Charlie's commentary about a small mutual water company and running their budget, but I wonder if we can't figure out how to pay for this over the course of time, just put together a sensible financial plan. Because again, the bottom line is we need this transient model to do our jobs properly.
Yeah, if I could just respond back to that, Bruce, I think, you know, much of what you said is beneficial and helpful in us talking about the basin management. And I think the model is an important tool for managing the basin. What I'm struggling with right now is, you know, we've had a little bit of ambiguity in looking at these numbers and what was presented to us right now. Some of this wasn't in our agenda for us to review. Now we have a table that has different numbers on it. So there's a little bit of uncertainty there. And then I think if I just look at the table that we have up on the screen, what we're really asking for is, you know, just looking at Golden State's commitment is a $110,000 addition to our 2020 budget. If you just simply take the baseline to adding the transient model, give and take, you know, where do we go with some of the grant funding and things like that? But it is a substantial increase. And so, you know, there are opportunities, I think, that we could fund these projects. You know, something that you were talking about is just the land use. You know, we have an obligation to manage the basin and be good stewards of the basin, but some of this falls on, you know, new development, and there has to be an accountability there. I think that there's some funding opportunities for that.
Yeah. I don't disagree. But that comes later.
Just let me finish because I was almost done. So I think, you know, a framework that I've just been involved with, I think the county is too, in San Luis Obispo with the NMMA and the structure. There is a basin management strategy that connects that nexus where we could fund some of this through different avenue than simply coming up with it right now for existing basin users to fund these types of projects. I'll kind of just leave it at that for right now, but I think we do have a lot to talk about and to work through on these types of significant projects.
Well, it was my understanding that staff had met and had come up with this recommendation, that staffs from all entities had checked this out and that Dan's recommendation to us was based on an understanding among staffs that we needed the transient model and we needed to figure out, you know, how to do it, and that I would assume that applying for the grant, which poses a cash flow challenge, yes, but in the end, you know, gets us the transient model and other beneficial information at a reduced cost, was the way to go. So I guess my concern is I don't want to delay this to the point where we lose the opportunity to help us pay for the transient model through grant funding, if that's the desired, which I would expect it to be the desired will of the other members. So I don't know if we're looking at a grant deadline. As long as we can meet that grant deadline, I'm open to further staff discussion on this. But it really amounts in both the specific and the larger sense to a cash flow problem. You know, it's very much like the wastewater plant, which is financed by existing users. When new users connect to it, they will pay their share. And I think that a similar mode can be taken. It's not, to me, the very reason to get going on more sophisticated modeling of this basin is to properly accommodate the future growth that helps pay for it. So yes, chicken and egg thing, but again, back to basics, it's a cash flow problem. Let's figure out how to get that money in out there, and let's get going on this. So again, any thoughts on our time constraints would be gratefully received here.
I think that's a good point, Chris, about the timing for the funding, I think, for the grant funding, because that's a critical component of this.
I can provide additional information there. So one of the benefits of this program is that it is continuous enrollment. So unlike some grant funding programs where there's strict deadlines and strict project milestones that need to be met, this program is relatively flexible. And so that does give us some flexibility. Now, on the flip side, you know, it the longer we take to make this decision, obviously it pushes the completion of this out, but it also delays any work that it could be occurring on the soil aquifer treatment program and other things, just so we're all aware, you know, we likely would want to keep that on hold. But there is time to continue discussions. And I think the comments that were made by Director Cody and I think seconded around the budgeting timelines in the process, that's something that has been on my mind and something I've had discussions with the party staff, in that because of the different fiscal years or the different time periods that each agency operates from a fiscal and budgeting perspective, it really speaks to the need for a more proactive look at upcoming future costs. And so I think that's one thing that I could work closely with the party staff to understand their budgeting processes, and so that we can help alleviate that issue moving forward in future calendar year budgets. And then additionally, I guess I would add, I would apologize for the ambiguity in some of the numbers. That's something that that falls on me, and that I will address. And I don't know. There's two different versions of baseline, and I think that's the issue. We don't necessarily need to get into all those at this point, unless that the BMC would like to. But it's something that I will fix moving forward. And then thirdly, I guess just one component or a point of reference, the BMC budget for 2019, I believe, was $346,000. And so, while the comparison between the transient model and the baseline budget is pretty significant as shown here, the comparison of the 2019 calendar year budget for the BMC and any of these options is not nearly as drastic of a difference. And I guess the other thing I would point out is this baseline number is really just items 1 through 7. It's just the sort of the administrative functions of the BMC and doesn't include any of the sort of additional initiatives that the BMC would like to include to move forward. And so just to help illustrate that, I'm going to jump back here. So the $184,000 is just past 1 through 7, sort of the bare minimum to keep the BMC running. And I've presented these as somewhat binary options, obviously, that we have flexibility as the BMC to pick and choose the different elements. But if you look at this, the transient model budget, it shows some of those other items that potentially could be included in the baseline, including the $50,000 for the creek discharge, The funding and organizational studies budget item is also up for consideration. So obviously looking to get input and direction from the BMC on what specific budget items. It doesn't need to be one of these three alternatives. A hybrid likely could be selected as well.
Okay, thank you. So should we go to public comment now, please?
Sure.
All right, let's go to public comment, then we'll bring back for further discussion by the board. Any, Laura, I'll give it back to you, please.
Yes, we have a couple public comments. And just as a reminder, press *9 if you are on your phone or raise your hand. All
Laura,
right.
Do you need me to give you back control?
Yeah, I have it controlled. Lou, I have you available for public comment.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you. Actually, this is Lynette Tornotsky. And responding to what Supervisor Gibson said, the county flood control district has potential. Could he please expand on what that might be? Maybe it would help this issue. Thank you.
Do we have, you said there was another public comment, Laura?
Yes. One moment. Okay, you are now unmuted and you're allowed to talk.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Jeff Edwards calling. And I'd like to speak to the funding of the transient model. It's my belief that the county flood control and water conservation district should be responsible for 50% of the cost of this model. And largely, my comment is based on the fact that this is a tool for the County of San Luis Obispo to use in working with the California Coastal Commission on the approval of any community plan. And so as a result thereof, I think it's imperative that the county pick up 50% of the tab. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else, Laura?
No, there are no other hands raised at this time.
Okay, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the committee for discussion. Who would like to go first?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I mean, could we simply direct staff to bring back a revised analysis of this for our next meeting? After consultation with the party's staff in the interim, to lay out a more detailed analysis of where the carryovers are, what the actual new commitments, because we've made commitments to many of these projects already, and I think it just wasn't clear in presenting here what we've already committed to and what extra we're being asked to commit to. So if Dan could work with county staff and agency staff, water company staff, to clarify that in the next cycle, work with S&T in particular about, you know, how their budget issues can be resolved, and bring us back another analysis and a recommendation for action at our next meeting would be my thought.
Yep, that makes sense to me. So what does the rest of the board think? I mean, because I think what you're saying, Bruce, is that they have to work out the details and give us some more detailed information.
We had committed in concept to doing these things.
Right.
And in previous budgets, we had actually committed money to doing these things. And we just need to make sure that the details are worked out and presented so all members of the committee here can appreciate them and understand where we are. I'm sensitive to Mark's comments about open-ended and the magnitude of the request, but maybe we could ask, it may be a big load for the next month if we can get this back in the next month, But if Dan meets with staff, and then if Dan can meet individually with committee members to make sure we're all clear on the presentation, maybe by our next meeting, we could get this moving forward.
Yeah. So, what do you and Mark and Charlie, what do you guys think about this?
You want to go first, Charlie, or you want me to?
Sure, Mark. Thank you. I'll go first. I think that Director Gibson's comment about putting this off until more discussions are held about the details will stop me from making really long comments right now. I don't see how I could write a proposal for moving funds around in the S&T budget to compensate for such a large change during this budgeted year. I don't know that it can't be done, but maybe some of that also, those considerations need to be made here with the BMC budget to move monies around in budgeted areas of the BMC budget in order to fund this. That's a possibility also. That's all my comment.
Thank you.
So I appreciate Bruce's comments and Charlie comments also. I think having further discussions and really expanding it further out to know what are we committing to when we talk about some of this early funding, some of that was just the way it was explained during the previous BMC meetings is that it was seed money to keep these projects alive until other funding mechanisms could be established. And so really now that we're talking and framing it that these projects would be fully funded with grant funding, but the majority would be fully funded through the BMC, we need to have a long-term plan for that just based on Golden State's budget cycle. You know, 3 to 5 years is we go through a budget cycle every 3 years. And so really, really difficult to change or manipulate that as it requires approval from the PUC to do that. So minor adjustments can be made, but these are significant enough that they need to go into our long-term planning, and in addition to the you know all the other budget items that we have for operating and maintaining the system. So, if we could bring that back to staff and have those conversations and develop a plan, I think that would be helpful to move this along.
Okay. Thank you. Excuse me. I think also. Excuse me, I agree with what everybody said, but I also think that this goes back to the point that was raised in an earlier item during the executive director's report that you raised, Mark, about looking at potential JPA or other structures to do this so we can equitably share this among the community. So I think that needs to be part of these discussions also as we look forward to the long term.
Okay.
So I think, Dan, you got some good direction on this item, unless anybody has anything else on this item.
Mr. Chairman, I just for your time planning, I'm supposed to be on another item here at 3:15.
Hello?
Hello? Should we move to the next item?
Yeah, let's do it.
I think Marshall's on mute.
Yeah, I think we lost Marshall.
I hit my mouse by mistake, yes. So I was saying, let's move to item. I was saying that I have another call at 3:30, Bruce, so... Yeah, so let's move on to item 6C, the 2019 annual report preview.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Ohilski. Item 6D is a sneak peek at some of the findings from the 2019 annual report. We would anticipate having a much more lengthy and comprehensive item around the 2019 annual report at a future BNC meeting, and I'll cover the upcoming schedule for the annual report preparation, review, and approval process in our next item. But as has been done.
Dan, could you please share your screen?
I can. That was actually, I guess, sure, I can do that. Can everybody see that?
Yep. I can.
Great.
Yeah, okay.
So the following is just an excerpt of some of the key items from the 2019 annual report. And we'll just, again, this is just a preview. With the intention that we'll have additional discussion around the annual report at subsequent meetings. So what I'm showing here, and it should also be included in your agenda packets, is two tables containing groundwater production estimates for 2019, as well as six subsequent years. Just some of the key findings, looking at the first table on the left, 2019, we had the lowest municipal groundwater production as observed on this period of record, which I think really speaks to the conservation efforts really taken on by the community and efforts to reduce water demand and groundwater pumping. So that's definitely very good news. And then additionally, on the table on the right, overall basin pumping based on these estimates was the lowest that we've seen over the last 7 years. Again, I think attributed to conservation amongst the urban and other parties, but additionally attributed to the delivery of recycled water to the Sea Pines Golf Course that was initiated at the end of 2019. This is a table that outlines the several of the key metrics that the BMC uses to assess the health of the groundwater basin. The basin yield metric, the ratio of groundwater pumping to the estimated safe yield, was calculated for 2019 at 69, which is below the basin plan goal of 80, and I believe is also below the basin yield metric for 2018. So again, good news, I think, associated with the conservation efforts of the community. And given some of the time constraints, I'll move through the rest of this rather quickly. So the water level metric was 1.8 feet above mean sea level. The chloride metric was 163, and I have graphs showing these on subsequent slides. And then the nitrate metric was at 22. So all three of those metrics not meeting the basin plan targets, unfortunately. So this is a graph that shows the chloride and the water level metric. And unfortunately, what we saw in 2019 was potentially a regression of these two metrics relative to previous years with an increase in the chloride metric and a slight decrease in the groundwater water level metric. And then the last graph here is the nitrate metric. This, we did see a slight uptick in the nitrate metric as shown by the fourth green dot here. However, the nitrate metric is a 5-year running average. And so while the metric did go up, the individual data points for 2019 were actually lower than previous years, indicating that we are seeing a good trend in nitrate concentrations within the basin as they are starting to decrease. Now, we won't necessarily realize that in our metric until we've gotten through the point where the really high value in 2017 is no longer counted in the 5-year running average. But good news on the 2019 nitrate data specifically. And so that is just a quick preview of some of the key items from the 2019 annual report.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions or comments on this item?
Just quickly, Marshall, Dan, as you look at that chloride metric ticking back up, does that have anything to do with the adjustments of the way in which we did the measurements at the one well where we were concerned about upper aquifer leakage?
I believe so. So in talking with Spencer Harris at Cleese Harris Geologist, who I meant to acknowledge at the beginning of this, for him and his team's efforts to put these the annual report together, and I would point out that they are almost a month ahead of where they were last year in terms of schedule, so I really applaud their efforts. But yeah, input from Spencer regarding the chloride metric was that the chloride concentrations in one of the key wells, the Rosina well, Lower Aquifer 10, is potentially influenced by the pumping patterns of that well preceding the sampling event. Right. And it's hard to replicate exact conditions year over year. But what Spencer has advocated for and that we'll be working on with the BMC staff and the parties is looking to standardize our procedures around the sampling of that well as much as we can to be able to get the best quality of data we can from that well and to support the chloride metric.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I look forward to more discussion of that. And I know our staff has some thoughts on the overall calculation of the metric. So we'll wait for the bigger discussion of the annual report. Thanks.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Okay, Laura, go to public comment, please. Are you there, Laura?
Sorry, I had myself muted. If you would like to make a public comment, please press *9 or raise your hand. There are no hands raised.
Okay, we'll move on then to, excuse me. We'll move on. We'll move on to the next item on our agenda, which is 60. My laptop has decided to not cooperate here. So you want to move on to that item, please?
Thanks, Chair Hohilski.
It came up now. The draft annual report and BMC document release authorization.
Staff is recommending that the BMC authorize the executive director to release BMC documents for public review through the BMC mailing list and through posting on the Los Osos BMC website. This recommendation is being made to provide for additional flexibility and an increased amount of time that the public and other stakeholders can have to review the draft annual report and other relevant BMC documents. I think historically, it's my understanding that the annual report and other documents were released as part of agenda packets for upcoming BMC meetings. And at times, the amount of review time allotted between the release of the agenda packet and the meeting may have been a challenge for certain people or the community to be able to fully review and digest and make appropriate comments on those items. And so this request is being made really to just improve flexibility and provide additional review time for these critical items.
Okay, thank
you. And then...
Go ahead. Yep. Go ahead.
Related to that, you know, if this request was granted, Laura's showing on your screen an overview of the anticipated schedule for the release and review of the 2019 annual report. The current goal would be to release the draft annual report on or around May 6th to allow for review, and then having the draft annual report on the agenda for the May 20th BMC meeting and having public comment due at that time. Public and agency comments would then be incorporated into a final annual report, which then could come back for review by the BMC on June 17th, and all in preparation for submission of the annual report to the court by June 28th.
Is that it, Dan?
That's it. That's all I have.
Okay. Any questions or comments by committee members?
Director Cody moves to accept staff recommendation to release this annual report to the BMC in public as soon as possible.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, so it's been moved by Director Gibson and seconded by Director Cody. Can we have a roll call so we'll make sure that everybody understands?
Did you take public comment?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, public comment on this item. Should have done that before there was a motion. Thank you.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please press *9 on your phone or raise your hand. No public comment.
Okay. All right, so you're going to make the motion again and the second again, please?
Sure. Yeah, this is Director Cody. I'd like to make the motion to accept staff recommendation to release this draft annual report as soon as possible to the public and BMC.
And Bruce?
Yeah, second. Second.
All right. Can we have a roll call, Daniel, please?
Yes. Director Cody?
Approve.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Zimmer?
Yes.
Chair Ohilski?
Yes. Okay, so Bruce, yeah, so it passes unanimously. So we'll move on to item 7, public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Do we have it? I'll turn it back over to you, Laura.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please press *9 or raise your hand. There are no public comments.
Okay, seeing none, then we'll adjourn, Bruce, exactly at 3:15.
So. You're the man. Thanks so much, y'all.
Thank everybody.
Take care. Stay safe.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.